Time to get our Wednesday view from the middle, though he's making his way to the Sunshine State as folks there getting ready for spring football. You can find his work for USA Today online. Visit usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. We welcome in George Schroeder. How you doing today, George?
And I'm good. How are you, Steve?
All right. So are you on your way or are you in Tallahassee?
I have been to Tallahassee and I am I have departed the premises.
Okay. So I was reading the Seminoles play their spring game at the Citrus Bowl. They start spring ball in about 2 weeks, 6 years now under Jimbo Fisher. Of course, won it all in 2013, playoffs in 14. Started 6-0 last year. But then they lost at Georgia Tech, at Clemson, the bowl game. Always a lot of expectations for that program. How would you evaluate their performance last year?
I would call it a transition year away from the Jameis Winston era, or error, if you want to call it that. But on the field, there's no question that, you know, Jameis Winston was a dynamic playmaker and a leader and sort of a catalyst to put the program higher than it had been. So I think, you know, losing him and some other talented guys, too, in leadership, so I think they had a bunch of young guys, very talented, playing last year, and I think they did about as well as you could be expected. They weren't as good as Clemson last year. They lost on the road. It was a three-point game until late. They lost by 10. You know, they were just a hair off, and some of that was the fact that they were younger and inexperienced. The bowl loss is the one that you would look back on and go, you know what? You know, you made it to a New Year's Six Bowl. You played the Peach Bowl, but you lost to Houston. And just on, you know, you would go, oh, typical unmotivated, kind of got fat and happy and thought they weren't going to play anybody. There might have been some of that, too. But I think we may be about to find out this coming year that Houston's pretty good.
Right.
I would just tell you I would call it a transition year, 2015, for Florida State. I think if they can get the quarterback situation sorted out, and that's a big if, you know, as Duck fans know, but if they can get the quarterback situation sorted out, they've got some potential there. They're going to bring back one of the very best running backs in the country, maybe the best, in Dalvin Cook. He doesn't get quite the notoriety and attention, I guess would be a better word to put it, than as some of these other guys. But they bring back him. They bring back everybody on the offensive line. They need to develop some receivers, but they think they've got guys. Their defense is going to be really, really good again. If they can get quarterback play, they might be right back in the mix for the playoff. That's where I think they're headed.
Yeah, I remember Cook was coming on when they played the Ducks in 2014. He had a huge year. So next, you'll be Gainesville bound. I see the Gators have announced their spring game is going to be like a version of Friday Night Lights. Year one under Jim McElwain was racing along until Will Greer, their quarterback, got hurt in the middle of the season. They won a so-so North. Florida State beat them pretty good. Bama in the SEC title game. And you want to talk about a bad bowl. Michigan just annihilated them in the Citrus Bowl. But with how the Will Muschamp era ended, how would you evaluate season one of Jim McElwain for the Gators?
Well, I thought they played pretty well. I mean, basically, especially after Will Greer was suspended for the, performance-enhancing drug use, they basically had no offense. And when I say they had no offense, what I mean is they, you know, couldn't move the football or score. But other than that, I mean, it was really bad. Now, on the other side, they had a really, really good defense. So it was kind of a wasted unit, frankly. And you're right, they did catch, once again, the SEC East was horrendous. So they won that, even with kind of half a team. But they had no shot against the better teams they played. Alabama didn't really play real well against them. They just grinded it out, knew they didn't have to do anything special because Florida couldn't score, had zero chance to score. Again, they've got to identify a quarterback. That's been Florida's issue for a while. Frankly, they've kind of become a little Texas-like in that issue, in the way they've had quarterback problems. I don't know that they've got the answer there yet. I do know this. I think Jim McElwain, you remember when he was hired away from Colorado State? Obviously, he had been, you know, an offensive coordinator for Saban, but there was kind of a little, oh, okay. It didn't really, like, blow anybody up. I think it was a really good hire. I think we can already see that, and I think we're going to see him do it at Florida, what Jimbo Fisher has done a pretty good job of doing at Florida State, which is build a program that's kind of in the mold of Alabama. And frankly, Florida State may actually be, you know, have more talent on hand in some ways. So I think Florida has a shot to get rebuilt the right way this time. But they've got to have a quarterback, and they've got to play well. One other thing, by the way, the reason Florida State's spring game is being played in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl, it was evident today. They basically have blown up the south end of Doe Campbell Stadium.
Oh, okay.
And they're redoing it, and it's and then they're also redoing the interior. They're doing a ton of things to the stadium itself, and so it's not going to be, you know, playable, or you couldn't sit in the stands for a spring game. So they thought about going to Jacksonville, and I guess they just decided Orlando made sense.
All right. We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So a couple weeks ago, you wrote about replay in college football, and I actually forgot to ask you about it. Speaking of Orlando, the Football Rules Committee met there, and they talked about maybe expanding the logistics, like the NHL and MLB use kind of a central location. Is this going to be like a conference-by-conference decision, a collaboration? I guess, what was your take, and are we going to see any big changes for this coming year?
I don't think we'll see any. Well, I mean, we will see the changes. I think there will be some changes in that. And I think I'm guessing that all five of the Power Five conferences at least will attempt this. I don't know that some of the Group of Five conferences maybe have the capability, but essentially, you're going to be allowed to have in real-time communications and real-time collaboration between the replay official in the stadium, in the replay booth, and people back in the conference office. Sort of, they all have this sort of command center, you know, with nothing but, you know, TVs. It looks like a big TV control room. And if you want to queue up the conspiracy theories and figure that, you know, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will now be pressing the button to make sure that, you know, Arkansas doesn't pull off the upset of Alabama, I guess you can queue those up. Just remember that they already pay the replay officials and the officials anyway. So if they're doing those kinds of things, they can already do that. But the big deal, it won't be that some guy will be sitting in the conference office making the call for the replay official, but there will be the ability to consult on those plays in real time. So presumably they'll be in contact over the phone or Skype or something like that. They'll have access to the exact same sort of computer screens at the same time, so they can say, yeah, but see what I see here. And the other guy can go, yeah, see but what I see here. So that's all it's going to be. It's going to be, I do think that eventually it might lead, as technology gets better, to replay decisions being controlled from a central location.
Oh.
I do think that could happen down the road. That's not what's happening right now.
All right. No, I thought that was really interesting. But another thing you wrote about, as last season ended, we had three teams playing bowls with losing records, and even odder, I guess, Nebraska, San Jose State, and Minnesota all won their bowl games.
Yeah,
and
so they finished 6-7. Good season, guys.
Yeah, nice. And you wrote that there are cities actually vying for more bowl games. From who you spoke to, I don't know why. Who? How logical is this? And how could it even be possible?
Well, it's possible if they talk a conference or two conferences into saying, yes, we will send you teams if we have some available. That's basically all they have to have. That's a stadium deal. They don't even need a TV contract, although they can get one. Now, I will say this. ESPN is not going to come out and say it, but in some conversations I had with some ESPN people at the Football Bowl Association meetings I was at, there's no desire on ESPN's part to televise any more bowls. I mean, they own 13 bowls, and they televise almost all of the bowls, all but two or three. You know, so what, 35 of the 40 bowls or whatever they televise?
Right.
Plus the championship game. And, you know, and that number, I don't know the number. It might be 36 or 37. But there's no appetite on their part for more bowls at this point. But if you can check the boxes on a pretty low standard certification form that the NCAA requires, and you can pay $10,000 by October 1st, you can have a bowl. So, Steve, you and I could start a bowl and play it at whatever it is they're calling the park the Timbers play in now. You know, we could start a bowl, and of course we would call it the Georgia Steve Bowl, and we need to get title sponsorship. But I'm sure the BJ in the corner office will do that for us through Cumulus. But essentially, you know, it doesn't take much to start a bowl. But that what's happening now is the reason I don't think that Myrtle Beach, which is the closest to getting it done, or Charleston, South Carolina, or Austin, which almost lit up a year ago and is trying to do it now. And certainly not St. Louis, which is the fourth and most unlikely. The reason I don't think they will actually go this year, even though two new bowls went last year, is because I don't think they're going to get any conference agreements. Because the conferences weren't able to supply enough 6-6 or better teams last year, and I think it was a tipping point in everybody's minds that, uh-oh, we got the 40 bowls when we got two new bowls last year. And, you know, the year before we had 81 6-6 teams that were eligible. For bowls, and this year we only had, and then 2015 we only had 77. So how do we know that we're going to have 80, much less if you add two or three more bowls? So I don't think they'll get the conference agreement that they would be required to have to get certified.
All right. Well, I can tell you one thing. When we put the George and Steve Bowl together at Providence Park, I have a place for us to stay because my daughter and son-in-law live right across the street. So that could cut into our expenses.
I just want you to let me take care of getting us the bowl jackets because I don't know if I trust your style. And you might get some sort of a really, you know, I know bowl jackets are usually garish, but I want to be the one that controls that.
All right, so you get your name first top billing because of alphabetical order, and you pick the jackets out. I'm feeling being aced out here.
Well, you are, but I had the idea. So.
All right. Let's wrap with college basketball. Last night, Kansas won at Baylor, and they pushed their lead in the conference to two games, just three left. You know, they're on the brink of winning the Big 12 regular season title for the 12th consecutive season. And, of course, over that time, they've won a national title. They've played for another. We always hear this is the age of parity, and everybody gets their chance. What kind of accomplishment is this for Bill Self and that program?
Well, it's pretty unbelievable. First of all, let me say one other thing. I'm also going to need you to put up the $10,000 for our bowl game, so if you don't mind that. It could be the Steve George Bowl for that reason.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, look, to win 12 straight conference titles in anything is unbelievable, but in the Big 12, which it hasn't always been this good, but for many of the years it's had three or four or five really good teams. This year it's got seven teams that are probably headed into the NCAA tournament. You know, two of them look like Final Four teams, potentially, and you've got a couple more that could be playing deep into the second weekend of the tournament. This is an amazing accomplishment just this year specifically, I think, with this particular Kansas team, which I don't know that it has quite as many guys as some of these Kansas teams that Bill Self has had. I don't know who the surefire lottery pick is for the team. I don't think he has one. This is an incredible accomplishment. They are going to win the league. I mean, the worst they could do is tie for it. So they're going to be able to claim their 12th straight conference title. And, you know, it's pretty much unprecedented, I think. You know, now, that said, 40 years ago, you had UCLA running off strings of national titles, so that's a little different.
Sure.
But in today's world of college basketball, and in a league that's been as good as the Big 12 has been, I mean, picture anybody doing that in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I guess the pick would be Arizona or UCLA, probably, to pull something like that off.
Sure.
Nobody's going to get to 5 or 6, much less 12. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, George, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call my Fidelity account rep and see what my penalty is for early withdrawal for $10,000 from my IRA. And we'll see if we can't move this bowl thing forward.
While you're talking to the Fidelity guy, ask me if he'll be our title sponsor.
That's right. Maybe we can find somebody else to pick up the tab. All right. Well, enjoy Gatorland. Remember, follow George on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. George, always fun. Travel safe, and thanks for the time. We'll catch up next week.
I appreciate it. I think December 19th, the Chicken Bones Steve and George Bowl will be played in Portland.
All right. Like I said, I've got time. I think I could put this together.
All right, we're going to do it.
All right, take it easy, George.